Our reading this evening is Luke chapter 7, verse 36 to 50, and that's on page 1036. Yeah, 1036. Luke chapter 7, verse 36 to 50. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she's a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii, and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is God's word.
Thank you so much, Rachel. And if the team at the back could bring in all of the water and the towels, if we could all prepare to wash one another's feet. Do not panic. That's not what tonight's about. We're not going to be baring our feet to one another. For some of us, that might be a good thing. We are cutting into our series on Mark with a couple of making the most of Sunday sermon, as John said earlier, and last week singing. I thought Chris did a great job on that. And tonight we're doing hospitality. I've been praying that I do similarly to that. It's an interesting subject. Can cover many areas. But what I didn't want to end up doing tonight was a whole list of do's and don'ts and practical examples of what we should or should not be doing. So I went to one of Jesus' encounters for help. Who better to look to for help than Jesus? Now my hope and prayers that you will see from this passage how Jesus disrupts our normal thinking and expectations. He accepts hospitality himself, but that he is also the main giver of hospitality to those that seek him. Now, I do appreciate that many of you here are excellent at hospitality. So don't panic. This isn't me banging a pulpit about it, but I think it's still good for us just to rethink it from time to time. There are plenty of passages I could have picked, but I was particularly drawn to this one as it really challenges some normal expectations. I asked myself several questions as I started to think about this subject. And the first up was why this subject and why now? Well, I believe that one of the best ways that we can show love to our friends, our family, our community and our neighbours is by being hospitable in one way or another. A couple of other questions I asked myself was why me and why right now? Well, let's pray that the answers to those questions will either become clear or irrelevant by the end of the evening. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you that you give us an instruction manual and that we love it and we want to learn from it. Help us tonight to really do that. Help us to learn from your word and from your son's example. Amen. So, have you ever invited someone to dinner half-heartedly, not really knowing what to expect or what it's something you really want to do? Alternatively, have you ever been invited somewhere slightly out of the blue, not really sure what's going on or why you're going or what to expect? Why have you been invited? Perhaps you are slightly suspicious or feeling uncomfortable with the invitation. Or have you ever known that someone you really want to talk to has been invited to somebody else's house and you haven't been? Would you gate crash that party just so you can talk to that person? Well, that's kind of what's going on here in this passage. And by looking at it, we'll be able to help ourselves see what true hospitality looks like. And it will also show us the way Jesus models this for us, and perhaps in a different light than maybe we would expect. As we look into this passage, we should appreciate that its primary point is the forgiveness Jesus offers to sinners. It's about Jesus and who is welcome to come to him. But I hope that we should also learn something about hospitality and how it is more than just feeding and entertaining guests. This is about opening our hearts to others, welcoming strangers, sinners, the marginalized and the broken, just as God has welcomed us in Christ Jesus. And Jesus modeled this throughout his ministry. And it reveals Jesus' heart and challenges us to love as he did. It provides a few practical applications, but later we shall look at some more areas that we can consider. But what follows is not, however, as I said earlier, a detailed instruction on how to host a dinner party or entertain guests. So let's start looking at the characters involved. And first up, we have this Pharisee called Simon, a Jewish leader, teacher. And whilst we aren't told so, he was quite possibly part of the opposition that Jesus faced day to day. Yet he still invited Jesus to have dinner with him. Then enters a woman, and all we know is that she's sinful. It's not a great description of a person in the Bible, is it? But what we know is that she weeps at Jesus' feet. She washes them with her tears. She wipes them with her hair and anoints them with perfume. Now, as I said earlier, this is not a sermon about me expecting my feet to be washed every time I come to your house, okay? But it was normal in those times. It was normal to offer water and a towel to allow guests to wash the dirt and the mud off their normally sandal-wearing feet. I guess our equivalent would be to have a doormat. Not quite the same, is it? Or maybe asking your guests to take their shoes off. They don't have quite the same warmth. But like I said, this isn't about me telling you to wash your guests' feet. And then we do have Jesus. He's accepting both Simon's invitation, but also the woman's attention. And let's not forget the other guests that appear later in the passage. We don't hear much more about them, but they were too to start questioning who this Jesus is. And whilst we're not completely aware from the wording whether they were for or against Jesus, a bit like Simon maybe, we don't know. But it's worth us thinking about that, isn't it? What did we first think when we thought about the other guests? Because you see, we too can be the other guests, onlookers, joining in where it's comfortable to do so, but not willing to challenge if we think something isn't quite right. Back to Simon. He likely invited Jesus out of curiosity, but his hospitality was shallow. We see later in the text that he didn't offer the water for Jesus' feet, oil for his head, or a kiss of greeting. Basic customs of hospitality of the time. In contrast, this woman, despite her shame and uninvited status, pours out extravagant love. Just from this introduction, we can see that hospitality sometimes involves disruption. Our plans can be quickly altered by the unusual or the unexpected, but that's okay. Let the Lord work through that and through you. Now, Simon seemingly invited his usual crowd, likely similarly minded folk, those he liked having around him, perhaps those that enriched his reputation. Quite possibly Simon invited Jesus as it was whom everyone was talking about at that time. So an invitation was to increase Simon's reputation. But his plans were interrupted, and by someone that was not going to do his reputation any good whatsoever. How would you react if that happened? Are we willing to welcome those who don't fit into our schedules, our plans, or our social circles? Hospitality, it involves breaking the norms to welcome those different to ourselves, the marginalised. Jesus doesn't turn this woman away because of her sinful ways. Quite the opposite. He welcomes this sinner, even though it was going to do his reputation no good whatsoever. And throughout the account of Jesus' life, we see how he often welcomed interruptions, whether he was healing the sick on the way to doing some other task or dining with tax collectors and sinners. You see, Jesus' version of hospitality means making room for others, even when it seems inconvenient. On the other hand, Simon's heart isn't for hospitality. It's more about reputation and judgment. Simon silently judges Jesus, thinking, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. You see, Simon is questioning Jesus' character because he allows this uninvited guest, this sinful woman, to touch him. In effect, making Jesus unclean. You've got to love the irony, haven't you? Someone cleaning Jesus' feet is making him unclean. It just doesn't seem right. But you see, Simon sees himself as clean and righteous, but he sees the woman as dirty, beyond redemption. His judgment blinds him to both his own need for grace and the beauty of her repentance. And what is Jesus' response? Harsh words, indignation and judgment? No. Jesus responds with a parable about two debtors, one owing a large debt and the other a small one. Both are forgiven, and Jesus asks, who will love more? Showing Simon that those who are forgiven much, love much. It's a really simple illustration, isn't it? If you owed somebody a fiver and they said, oh, don't worry about it, you go, oh, thanks, that's really nice. But if somebody said that you owed £500 to, said the same thing, I suspect your gratitude would be somewhat more, wouldn't it? Jesus is flipping the norm on Simon, teaching him that the one who recognises their great forgiveness responds with great love. You'd have hoped for a better reaction. Alas, no. They, Simon and likely the other guests, continue to judge Jesus, and likely the woman also. Sadly, we are all too quick to judge, perhaps not overtly, openly, or out loud, but we all do it to some degree or other. So let's repent of that and seek to be more like Jesus. You see, our judgment can block hospitality. A love like Jesus's opens the door to true hospitality. It requires an understanding of grace. Grace that was first shown to us when God sent his one and only Son to die on the cross for us, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You see, hospitality starts with love for people. All people. Simon likely throws this party for himself to enhance his reputation. That's why certain people aren't invited. Jesus has none of that because he really loves people, including the self-righteous Simon. You see, Jesus is also willing to associate with Simon, regardless of his judgment of Jesus, and to gently challenge Simon to consider his own need of forgiveness. I just want us to take a moment and think, who are you tempted to judge or exclude, even if it's in the smallest way? And I actually want you to take a moment here. Think, who have you excluded or judged lately? Who do you need to be more inclusive of? Just give yourself a couple of seconds and think that through while I grab my water. Father God, forgive us when we have judged or excluded, and help us to be more loving of one and other. Amen. Amen. That's not the end, don't worry. Hospitality starts with humility, acknowledging that we're all in need of God's grace. When we judge others, we close the door to true hospitality. In verse 44, Jesus then contrasts Simon's lack of hospitality with the woman's actions. She does what Simon failed to do, offering water, a kiss, and an anointing for Jesus. Jesus forgives her sins and sends her in peace, declaring her faith has saved her. It's another wonderful example of how Jesus uses encounters to teach us so much, to show us how to accept hospitality, to love all people regardless of their status, to be compassionate and caring, and not to judge. For this woman, Jesus shows that true hospitality isn't just physical. He welcomes her with grace, forgives her sins, and restores her dignity. His hospitality isn't based on her past, but on her faith and her repentance. Now, we can't forgive sins, but we can invite people to our homes, spend time with them where they need it, welcome people into our groups, maybe even change what we do so we can include others. And in so doing, we can point to the one who can forgive their sins and who will welcome them if they come to him. A few years back, I picked up a new team at work, and suddenly my usual practice of team building, rewarding behaviours was massively challenged. See, my team suddenly consisted of those of a Muslim faith, and no longer did bacon sandwiches and after work quick pints work. I had to change my approach. It was time for me to start thinking differently, and I believe that it's always good to reflect back on what we normally do, give thanks for the provision while we were doing it, but check to see if changes are needed. Pray for that direction. It's time to think how we can offer hospitality differently. Perhaps we can be quicker to forgive others as Christ forgave us. Perhaps we can be a place of peace for those who are burdened. Or perhaps we can open our hearts and homes to those who are hurting or excluded. My new team continued to flourish without bacon being the only option. And we spent more time actually eating together rather than just a quick trip to the pub after work. Now, I'm hoping you might remember this image, if we can have the next slide up. Not that one. Hopefully you remember this image of Philadelphia cheese from a sermon I gave a couple of months back about making the most of Sundays, where we looked at a passage from Hebrews. We picked out a word, the Greek word Philadelphia, which combines two words, philo, meaning love, and adelphos, meaning brother. And the essence of this is another reason why we should love, because we are like brothers and sisters to one another. Being part of a big, loving family, an eternal family. In Christ, we are both brothers and sisters, and we believers are linked together because of Christ. We have a bond that is even stronger and tighter than biological bonds. This should be at the heart of our meeting with one another, that we are family. Does that mean we are to be hospitable to everyone, Christian and non-Christian? Why should we invite those that don't yet know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour into our homes and to events here? Well, we are also to be salt and light in our community. We are a reflection of God's love to those around us. Often, simple hospitality, simply caring for each other and others in the community, makes people wonder, why are we doing that? Why are we so nice? And it can also set off opportunities to tell of our hope, our wonderful Jesus, and our own stories. And let's pause for the non-believer in the room. How does this love sound to you? Isn't it inviting? Don't you want to know more about that? If so, speak to me or whoever you came with or whoever you know to be a follower of Jesus. Okay, It is time for us to start looking at some practical applications, but remember, this isn't a set of detailed instructions. It feels like a caveat that should be at the bottom of every slide. This is just some pointers. First off, I've got some questions for you. Think about this for your own personal, individual hospitality. How can we model Jesus' hospitality in our daily lives? Who in your life needs to experience the love and welcome of Jesus? Extend grace to those who are marginalized or judged by society. Start small. Invite someone to coffee. Listen to their story or extend forgiveness where it's needed. Remember coffee, dinner, gospel. And as for us, for a wider church, how can our church reflect Jesus' hospitality and character? How can we be more welcoming of strangers? Let us consider how we might create spaces in our groups and in our conversations where everyone feels seen, invited, welcomed, and loved. Try and identify one way this week to practice Christ-like hospitality beyond what you would normally do. A little while ago, we spotlighted a book called Extraordinary Hospitality by Carolyn Lacey. If we can have the next slide up. And it's a really useful guide for ordinary people like us. I'm not going to give you all of the details in the book, but I do have a couple of takeaways from it. And I highly recommend you all to read it if you haven't. I need to be honest with you. When we initially rolled this book out, I'm going to get lynched for this. I thought, that's one for the ladies. Now, I have repented of my sexist views, so ladies, please do not lynch me on the way out. But this book really is for both men and women. So men, if you thought the same as me, or are still thinking the same, then I will pray for you. But know this, you should really read the book, it's good. Please don't lynch me on the way out. Don't just make that the only thing you remember tonight. The book does start, however, with a simple question that we should all consider. When this subject comes up, do you immediately think, tell me more, I love this, give me ideas? Or do you inwardly groan with, do we really have to? Well, regardless of your answer, I'm going to plough on. The book sets out 7 basic characteristics that we should consider when thinking around this. They are on next, please, Eugenie. And they are to be generous, compassionate, humble, persistent, aware, inclusive, and sacrificial. And I thought it would be really good if we spend about 10 or 15 minutes on each of these points now. No, I'm not going to do that. We're going to quickly flick through each of them, though. So generous. This doesn't mean it has to be lavish or expensive. It doesn't mean you have to do anything other than give time. But if you're inviting someone to eat, it doesn't have to be lavish. Personally, I'm really happy with sausage and chips. Many people are content with a bowl of soup. The key is the warmth of the invitation and welcome and the time offered. Compassionate. Pray about who you can speak to invite. Avoid favoritism. Accept the cost, both in time and in money, and depend on grace. Humble. A great saying from the book that I picked out is that we should bless, not impress. And let's consider another story from the Bible about feet washing from the Bible in John. Jesus washed his feet. He humbly washed his disciples' feet, teaching them a lesson on servant leadership and love, and commands them to follow his example, true humility. Persistent. Don't give up if your first, perhaps half-hearted invitation didn't get accepted. Perhaps that person has food allergies and is afraid to eat out. Change up what you offer at each stage. Perhaps a walk instead of a meal or a coffee instead of a beer. Have you ever thought that someone doesn't deserve your invitation? Or that if they turn you down your first invitation, you say, well, I've tried. Throughout the Bible, God never gives up on his people. So why should you give up on his people? aware. Our welcome must be made to measure. We are becoming increasingly diverse, both in gathering people, in our gathering of people, but also in the wider community. So we must consider and pray about this before inviting people. We are not all the same. We don't all enjoy the same things. We don't all feel comfortable in the same settings or with the same greetings. This is not me asking to have my feet washed or oil poured over me or greeted with a kiss every time I'm invited anywhere. Inclusive. Or more to the point, let's not be inclusively exclusive, where we only include some and therefore, by not inviting others, become exclusive. Let's remove the barriers of race, wealth, education, sexuality, gender, physical disability, which football team you support, even if it's Tottenham. Let's remove those barriers. And similarly, when we are invited somewhere unexpected, that may be different from your normal invitation, notice how Jesus went to Simon's house, happy to put himself out there, and he reclined. He was able to relax. Sacrificial. God offers sacrificial love, but it's not a takeaway, it's a banquet. Jesus didn't just accept hospitality either, he gives it. Just look at how he prepared that Passover room and that Passover meal for his disciples. He wanted to serve them, to look after them. Now perhaps you could feel somewhat overwhelmed by the cost of welcoming people the way God does. Well, I hope not. We should be encouraged to see the privilege of reflecting God in our hospitality, rather than making us feel guilty about this. Do consider your own capacity. We all have differing capacities. Rest is equally important, but make sure you give the correct time to serving, worship, rest, and being served. Sometimes it might be right to rest, as we all need rest. But whether we serve others or not is mostly a self-centered choice. I can think of times I have refused to sacrifice my time or energy. I've repented of those times. A little while ago, I decided to take a day off on a Monday as I'd been so busy. As I approached the day, I was having wonderful visions of relaxing in the garden. It was meant to be a really hot, sunny day. Of doing what I wanted to do the way I wanted to do it. But guess what? It was a disaster. I was so self-absorbed that I became selfish. I just wanted to do what I wanted to do. Serving myself just made me resentful of everyone else. The only thing I managed to achieve that day was to a blazing row with Nay. Doesn't work. I think this says a lot about my godliness in that moment. I had no desire to serve others, just serve myself. We can often feel like that. And more often than not, we don't even realize we're doing it. One for me here. When we leave that Bible on the floor after the service, you're not purposefully thinking it's good for Stu to bend over 1,000 times every night just to pick all those Bibles up. Or when we leave the coffee cup in the kitchen, or even manage to get it kind of near the dishwasher, but left it unwashed, not in the dishwasher, we aren't purposely thinking that it's good for someone else to serve me in cleaning up. But whilst we aren't purposely thinking about that, we are showing a lack of godliness in loving those around us. Being hospitable isn't just looking to serve others, it can also be making sure you're not making more work for somebody else. Another great saying from that book was, "Everybody wants to save the world, but nobody is willing to help mum with the dishes." It's meaning hospitality doesn't have to be world-saving, awesome provision, but meaningful and humble in the small stuff, not increasing others' work. Just think sometimes, do we leave people and places in a better shape than when we found them? Finally, let us remember Jesus' ultimate act of hospitality. He welcomes us into his family and his kingdom through his sacrifice. At the cross, where Jesus sacrificially died for our sins, not his own, even in that suffering, he wanted to care for his mother. He saw her standing near the cross along with John and said to Mary, "Woman, behold your son." And then to John, "Behold your mother." Even in those final moments, Jesus showed his compassion and care for others. Jesus is the main provider of hospitality by giving us a future in his eternal wonder. Jesus says his Father's house has many rooms, and he's going there to prepare a place for us. Now, there's been a lot mentioned tonight, but one point you should absolutely need to go home with is that Jesus shows us true hospitality is about the heart. It's not about impressing others, but extending God's love and grace. True hospitality reflects the heart of Jesus, extending grace, love, and a welcome to all. God can use our ordinary hospitality to achieve extraordinary things. Let me pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for Jesus. His sacrificial love for us cannot be matched. Help us just to hold on to that when we speak to others, when we think of others, and when we go about our day-to-day lives. Help us to reflect that wonderful love. Amen.